Gospel of John chapter 11. And I will share with you a few thoughts that I had this week on Mary and Martha in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ and the death of their brother Lazarus. And what I learned essentially is this, that you have two different female psychologies working here. Now, you know this already from your prior discussions, discoveries, and contemplations of Mary and Martha. You know the Mary complex, which is to be overly emotive and contemplative. And you'll see some weakness in that in this text, as well as some strength. And then you know what the Martha complex is as well. Mike, I'm going to tell the story. God bless it. We have a newly ordained deacon here. When were you ordained?
May 11th.
May 11th. I think it was 2 weeks ago. I got here on Sunday morning. Have you ever seen either of these cartoon characters, either the Tasmanian Devil or a Roadrunner? Tasmanian Devil. And Roadrunner goes, "Can you children tell me what he says?" Connor, perfect. Perfect. Can you do that again? Great. Roadrunner goes, "Meow." Well, enter Mike Doyle. It's about 937.04. Meow, meow. Going through here. And one of the things he has to do is to get me set up for this presentation here. Were you going fast? And I just very kindly said to him, "Mike, don't let your Martha..." What did I say?
"Don't let the Martha spoil your time."
The Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah. "Don't let the Martha overcome the Mary of your mind and heart," something to that extent. Well, those are the two psychologies. And they're not just psychologies of these women, but of believers as well. Right? So, that's part of what I learned, that there's really a more depthful perspective on these ladies' psychologies, perhaps, than we have thought before. A second thing I learned is that I probably looked at a text all wrong all my life. You know, I've been planting a lot of grass, and I was planting grass again this past week. I was actually, Edward Allen, working in stony soil. So I thought about that parable all week long. I was raking rocks. I felt like Cool Hand Luke or someone on a chain gang, raking rocks, trying to get the soil ready for the seed. And as I was raking rocks, this text just came very powerfully, very powerfully. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." I couldn't get that text out of my heart and mind. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, who said that? Martha first. And that's something I had sort of forgotten, that not only did Martha say that, but Mary, a few verses later, as you will see, also said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But that moment, I was thinking it was only Martha. And you know, we tend to be critical of Martha because she's too busy, right? She's living the via activa, not the via contemplativa. She needs to be more contemplative. And Jesus does gently rebuke her for that. True. So as I contemplated on, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died," I began to build a sermon around that text. And Ray Harbaugh, I was going to title it something like "A Dangerous Rebuke." How dare a human being question God, question Jesus Christ. And then I got all these revelations about Job and Job's friend and Job himself and experiences in my own life. I thought if Jesus, quote, had been there, my dad, my mother would not, Judy would not have been sick. And then I got to think about how many adversities you have. And I also wondered who in our church had a special problem this week. A special hurt. A special breaking of the heart. A special burden. I bet some one of you did have a burden or a problem or a breaking, something this past week that was hard on you. And if not, then you have had one and you know what it's like. And if you haven't, you will. Or if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So I began to ask myself, well, what would spur such a question? What would spur such a dangerous rebuke? Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not die, have died. And so I came up with a list. Here are the things that cause someone to say that. One, they're brokenhearted. She just lost her brother. And apparently, Mary and Martha and Lazarus were very close family. Cindy lost a brother. Probably tell us more deeply about these emotions than anybody here. Anybody else here lose a brother? My wife, Miss Kay. So Mary and Martha, who said this first, were brokenhearted because of a devastating loss. And out of that brokenness came these words, Lord, if you had been here, implication that he wasn't, physically he wasn't, but we know God is omnipresent. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. So the first point in my sermon was that such a dangerous rebuke comes from a broken heart. The second point in this would-be sermon was that such a dangerous rebuke comes from a confused mind. Now, how often is it, yea, always, that when our emotions become greater than our rationality, that our rationality is clouded by them? That's the essence of Greek tragedy. When pathos overrules logos, tragedy follows. We know that Martha and Mary both were in deep emotional distress. And could that have affected Martha's thinking to the extent that she would have questioned God? She was irrational because her emotions weren't anchored spiritually. That's the second reason I came up with as to why Martha might say, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not. And I thought of a third reason. This is the most condemning of all as to why she might state such a dangerous rebuke. And that is, she was spiritually out of tune. If you have adversity in your life and are spiritually attuned to God, you can say with Paul, I have learned that whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. In every situation, Paul found himself. Journeys, perils, shipwrecks, sea storms, cat of nine tail lashings, persecutions, stonings, being let down in a garbage basket from a window to the place of refuge in the street, in whatever state. Paul, he had learned that what was lacking in him in the sufferings of Christ, fill it up, Lord. Because he was spiritually attuned. But someone who is emotionally broken, rationally out of concert with God's mind and not spiritually attuned could say, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But that's the wrong sermon. That's not what the text means. Have you ever heard anybody preach the text that way? I have. It's not what it means at all. Look really carefully at this text, and I think you'll be edified by it. Verse 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming. Now wait just a minute. Let's start right here and now giving Martha some credit. Here, she is ahead of Mary in her alertness to the coming of Jesus Christ and in her passion to meet Him. So let's give, quote, credit, unquote, where credit is due in this text because of Martha's alert ears and panting heart for the Savior. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him. But Mary sat still in the house. Now, beneath the surface of things here, there is a manifestation of the via activa of Martha and the via contemplativa of Mary. You see these differing psychologies. You have the active Martha going out to meet the Lord, the passive Mary staying behind. And in this case, we see a new nobility in Martha. Mary, you need to get up and go see Jesus. You need to get up and go out and meet Him. Where's your heart in this matter? Are you letting your grief for your brother overtake you? The Lord is on His way. Martha went out to meet Jesus. Then said Martha unto Jesus. We're going to give her some more credit right here. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You see the difference? This isn't a dangerous rebuke. This is a heart that has just run with passion to meet Jesus, and it is a declaration of praise to the power of the Son of God. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So rather than this being something for which we should chide Martha, we ought to learn from her to see that inherent to this declaration of her faith and trust and belief in the Son of God, she has attributed to Him the very power of deity, which is the power to impart eternal life and the power to raise the dead to life. How glorious is her approach to Jesus Christ. And then note His response to her. But I know, she said, that even now, whatsoever you would ask of God. And now, her faith perpetuates. Not just if you had been here, my brother, but Lord, I know now that anything you ask God, He will give it to you. And I think Jesus perceives this powerful, perfect passion in this woman because He subtly tries to subdue it with some implied discouragement and delay. Watch. But I know that even now, whatever you will ask of God, Jesus said unto her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said unto Him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So rather than seeing Martha as someone discouraged and confused and rebuking God Almighty, she is in fact expressing full faith and trust in him at every turn of the way. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. And I know that anything you ask God, he'll do it for you right now. Jesus said, your brother will rise. She said, I know that. I know. He'll rise at the last day. And one of the most wonderful texts in the Bible then, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. If we just take those four words, that's so inestimably and immeasurably profound. A Yahwistic saying, I am. Not just that you could raise my brother, not just that my brother will rise, but I am. I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Listen to her. Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. So I think if we differ our perspective here on Martha and think a little more deeply about the implication of her declaration, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, we see her in a new revealing light as a lady of great spiritual passion, personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, this is one of the most beautiful moments in all Holy Scripture. Martha, whom we think of as passive, is in fact passionate. She's run to meet Jesus. She's passionately declared her faith and trust in him. She's passionately affirmed his deity as the Christ, the Son of God. And now she runs back to the house and she says, Mary, secretly, Mary, the Master has come. And he's calling for you. And as soon as she heard that, it's about time, Mary. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly. Now, maybe there is someone's heart here this afternoon who in your relationship to Jesus is just sitting down. You think you're a spiritual Mary when the fact is you're really a passive Mary. You should have been out the door with Martha. And perhaps this message is like the voice of Martha to you, telling you secretly, privately, in your heart, the Master's here, and he is calling for you. Get up. Get up. Rise quickly and go out to meet him. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goes to the grave to weep there. But when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, it doesn't say Martha did anything like this, and we do see this contemplative quality to Mary. She's more reverential. She fell down at his feet. But notice the identity of Mary's faith with Martha's faith. Lord, she knew it too. Lord, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not. This isn't a rebuke. This is an affirmation of trust in the Son of God. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. There is an empathetic, not sympathetic, there is an empathetic heart in the Son of God. Now, when I say heart, I mean heart. We used to sing this old hymn, "There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God." For many years, I've had on my computer a sermon, "The Heart of God." I can't get to it. But I know that Jesus Christ has an empathetic heart. One of the essential purposes of the incarnation is the enfleshing of God and the ingodding of flesh, whereby God takes upon himself the form of a servant and is made in the likeness of sinful man, becoming very man, a very man, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining unto God, that he might be touched, with the feelings of our infirmities, but a better translation, that he might be touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. Now, how have you been weakened? How have you been hurt? Are you weakened by the devices of sin? Has sin bruised and wounded you? Are you weakened by the burdens of circumstances? The family problems? The broken heart caused by children or parents or spouses? We all have marks. Well, have you been hurt? One of the essential purposes of the incarnation of Jesus Christ was so that God, in human flesh and form, could be touched. We could say, could be hit. We could say, could be struck. We could say, could be hit with problems. Could say, struck with circumstances. Could say, wounded with worries. Could say, bruised with burdens. Could say, any way that a human being can be hurt. That's why God took upon him flesh. And here you have these two good women. They're different, but Lord knows they're good women. And they've been hurt, deeply, deeply hurt by the worst thing, death, the last enemy, Paul says. Death, the last enemy, Brother Don, death. And I don't care how bad life gets, it seldom gets worse than death. Oh, it can, but seldom. You know, death is not just an enemy. It's a release and a relief if you're a child of God. These women are deeply hurt. And their brother had been sick before he died. They're deeply hurt. And the scriptures say that when Jesus saw them weeping, he was moved. That's the point I'm making. If you are a person who, like Martha, has run to meet Jesus, or if you're a little tardy like Mary and Martha's calling you saying, "Little girl, let's get up and go." Well, then do as they did. Express your trust in the Son of God. Express your faith in the Son of God. Express your hope in the Son of God. Show it to Him by worship. Show it to Him by prayer. Show it to Him in your life. Get up and run. Affirm your belief in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the resurrection and the life. And I tell you what, when He sees you coming, when He sees Mary running, when He sees Martha running, when He sees the Jews going, He will meet you in the heart. He will meet you in the heart. We have a great high priest who, though being tempted in all points, who being tested in every way that we're tested, is touched with the feelings of our weakness. Therefore, He is able to succor those. S-U-C-C-O-U-R. Edward, what does that mean? Empathize. You've seen a mother nurse a child. That's the image here in the Greek. You hurting? Jesus knows how to succor you. It's like a mother would take a little baby up to her tender breast and suckle the child for its nourishment, for its comfort. Yesterday, Amy, at La Madeline's, Judy and I were eating. I saw this young mother with a little baby. And that little baby started crying and wouldn't stop. And that young mother took the little baby outside and at the door said, "Baby, what's wrong? What's wrong?" Before too long, that little baby was just calm and peaceful, just looking all around. Took him back inside. 2 minutes later, that precious mother gets up, goes back outside. Now, I don't know if it was nursing time or sessions, but I do know that that mother was doing everything she could possibly do to succor that child. And it worked. I can still drink warm milk and go to sleep. I'm thankful for my mother. And you mothers have all seen how the succoring your child gives them peace and comfort, solace, stillness, fullness. Jesus is a great high priest who will meet you heart to heart. And because He has been struck, wounded, hit, bruised, any way and every way you can imagine, or that you yourself have been so struck, He will meet you heart to heart and He will succor you. Just like He did Martha and Mary in this moment of death. Now, maybe this is preparatory for you for the week to come. I hope not. But something may happen this week, Brad. Or something may happen this week, Michael, where you need to get up and run to Jesus. And if it does, you know where to go. Let's stand.